Whether you love or hate the Affordable Care Act, it was designed to try to improve our healthcare system, which is uneven, expensive, and complicated. It's a system that evolved over a long time, and according to historian Nancy Toms, the problems with it are not new. Nancy Toms joins us now from her office. She's a professor of history at Stony Brook University and author of the book Remaking the American Patient, How Madison Avenue and Modern Medicine Turned Patients into Consumers. And this month, she won the Bancroft Prize in American History and Diplomacy. Nancy Toms, welcome and congratulations.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, let me start with this question. How did we get where we are in the healthcare system as it is?
Well, as a historian, I have to say this is not a train wreck that has just developed in the last years since the passage of Obamacare. We have a long and very troubled history in trying to arrive at what other democracies have arrived at, and that is a sense of full coverage for all citizens.
And we've gone in a totally different direction than other countries, which is that they've gone with universal coverage, in many cases, provided by the government and taxpayers, and we went a different way.
Yes. And decisions that were made as early as World War I, we are now seeing the consequences today. The United States turned its face away from the idea of government involvement in provision of health insurance, starting in World War I, we developed a very robust system of private insurance, but that was only for people with high-end jobs. So union workers negotiated and got more coverage in the 1950s. Executives started getting private health insurance as part of their employment package. So insurance became more available, but at a high cost that left a lot of people out, and we're still trying to figure out how to get the lost ones into the fold.
And before there were programs like Medicare and Medicaid, people who couldn't afford that insurance or didn't have a job that was good enough to provide it would just have nothing.
Precisely. Or charity. And one thing that Americans have long been averse to is the idea of charity, of being on the dole. So one of the drives behind creating Medicare was to create a program that would take that stigma away. You would be saving in advance, you'd be paying into a system over the course of your lifetime and then reap the benefits when you needed it.
And at the time that those programs came about, Medicare and Medicaid, why didn't the government just cover everyone? What was the argument? Or was there a major debate about whether it should just be one big universal health care program?
Yes. And the decision was not to go that route because there is a longstanding belief that private is better than public. You only resort to public if you can't get the private to do it. The idea of insuring elderly people who just at the point when they were likely to need more medical care, or very poor people who would present all kinds of health problems, they're just not an attractive population for private insurers. They never have been. They still aren't now. And that indeed is a big part of what we're struggling with at this very moment.
How far back in time do you have to go to get to a point where there is no insurance company and you just deal with your doctor directly and pay for the service that you get?
That would be 1935.
And was that system unsustainable? Could you not have continued on a system without insurance companies?
It was in the sense that as healthcare got more technologically sophisticated, when you went to the hospital, you were having x-rays, you might be having surgery, procedures that were far more expensive.
Right.
That it would be difficult. Essentially, the expansion of hospital care was being limited by the fact that few people had sufficient savings to cover a major medical incident. And even though old-line doctors who hated all forms of insurance, they believed if you put a third party between themselves and patients, bad things were going to happen. In some ways, they were absolutely correct about that. But the problem was people couldn't afford the care. The hospital couldn't get the debts paid. Medical debt collecting is a very early specialty in the United States. Far better than a system, a private system like that, where the patient is left with debts they can't pay or it takes a lifetime to pay back. Far better to set up an insurance program that will save money over time, and then it's there when they need it.
It seems like, among other things, one of the big consequences of the system that we have today is that patients have to do a lot more of the work themselves. They've got to decide what insurance plan they want, and they have to take control of it themselves. Is that right?
Absolutely. The way the American system has been constructed, it requires patients to do more than their counterparts in other countries. Just this morning, I was speaking to a group of physicians in the Netherlands, and they simply cannot wrap their heads around the concept of the patient as shopper. That is simply not a concept that you're going to find in a nation like that. When I said, well, in the United States, healthcare is not considered a basic human right, they just looked at me as if I had sprouted horns.
Well, and it's not just that the patient has to shop for insurance, but also often they have to get on the phone and argue for the benefits that they're being promised and potentially being denied by the insurance company.
Yes, and their physicians often end up having to do that on their behalf as well. I hear from physicians all the time that they spend a huge amount of their very specialized labor calling up insurance companies, pharmacy benefit managers, in order to get a patient permission to get a treatment that both the patient and the doctor want.
So as you have looked at where we've come from, where we've gotten to in healthcare in this country, is there anything beneficial about our system compared to other systems around the world?
We've paid a price for the trade-offs that we've accepted over the decades. Are there areas in which American healthcare provides a superior level of technical care? I think that's absolutely true. But you have to set that up against the dysfunction of the rest of the system. It is so uneven. It's so disorganized. You have to work so hard to get the right care that it's a trade-off. So I would say, yes, in some ways, there are clearly things that we can do well. But when you look at the dollars that we spend and the outcomes we get, we clearly don't have it right.
So is there a way to get it right? Is this system fixable, or does it need to be ripped up and started all over again?
Theoretically, I would say it needs to be ripped up and started all over again. Practically, one thing historians learn to respect a great deal is the importance of past choices and how they determine present choices. The strength of the system that we have in place, we have invested in it for so many years, that completely knocking it down and setting up, say, a single-payer system, I personally, much as I think that would be a good solution to our problems, I don't believe it will ever, ever happen. The commitment to private insurance and the political strength of the insurance industry is such, I don't believe that will ever, ever happen.
That's Nancy Toms, a professor of history at Stony Brook University and the author of the book Remaking the American Patient, How Madison Avenue and Modern Medicine Turned Patients into Consumers. Nancy Toms, thanks so much.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to be here.